This is a HeadGum Original.
So, on this fine August day, Evan, do you feel like your legs are still working like they used to? Do your legs still work like they used to?
Yeah, frankly, no. I don't really want to be reminded of it, that I'm now approaching, if not in, my middle age.
Yeah.
My knees are creaky.
Your legs don't work like they used to.
My legs
don't. When does that start, though? Like, I'm not sure my legs worked like they used to when I was 26. My prime shape was probably in my early 20s. Was I already over the hill? At age 26, was I already over the hill in the eyes of Ed Sheeran in this song?
His legs were at peak leg functioning at age 23.
Yeah.
And so was his heart at peak loving performance.
Yeah, when was his...
His heart is loving. His legs are working.
Well...
His cheeks are smiling.
Was he at peak loving at age 23 when this song came out? Just guess, Evan. Just look into your heart and guess. Is Ed Sheeran still with the person the song was written for?
Oh, no way. Absolutely not.
You're right.
Ed Sheeran, he thought he was at peak loving.
You're right.
He thought he peaked. He's just thinking out loud.
Yeah. Let's punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up.
This is Punch Up the Jam, the podcast in which we take the greatest hits of all time, in which this is indubitably one of those by any metric, and we make them even greater. I'm Evan Gregory, one of your hosts.
And I'm Andrew Gregory, Evan's brother and co-host. So, arguably the greatest love ballad of the modern era, and he's not still with the lady he wrote it for. It's kind of sad, right?
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, I like looking at it that way because I don't really like this song. We're talking about the Ed Sheeran song.
What?
Thinking About You.
Thinking Out Loud.
We're talking about the Ed Sheeran song. Thinking Out Loud.
We're treading in dangerous territory here because this is a recent song.
This is
not like one of these classic rock 80s hits or even a 90s banger that we're always doing on this show, which is like just from a different generation for really everyone listening to the show. Occasionally, a fan or a guest will be like, yes, that 90s song was important to me in high school or something like this. But this song is from this era. It's going to be important to a lot of listeners of this podcast.
It's just a mega hit. Like, more people have clicked on this song. It came out in the era where what mattered most in music wasn't radio play, wasn't who's buying the single. What mattered most is, what are people clicking on? And just in the world of the attention economy, in the world of clicks,
few
songs have gotten more clicks than this. It's one of the most viewed YouTube videos of all time. Top 20 YouTube videos.
Top 20 YouTube videos. That's crazy.
This is almost 3.5 billion YouTube views. It's one of the top 20 most listened Spotify songs. People have clicked on this. You know, it's hard for me to imagine how many proms, how many weddings, how many events this has been played at. So as I was coming into this, I was like, well, like, it sucks to say I don't like this song because clearly I'm disagreeing with so many people. Clearly I'm wrong, probably. Because people are voting with their clicks.
There's no question that you're wrong.
But
about
you've
this.
Changed, just in a moment, you've changed my perspective on this. I know it's a bad song because he's no longer with the person he wrote it for. It failed at its most essential task. Staying in love with this woman until they were 17 years old.
Are you talking about the line, until we're 70?
What? What? This whole time I thought I was 17.
Me too, honestly. It's the most misheard lyric. It's the most misheard lyric, and I think it's just that essential difference of British and American T's. When we say 17, you have an aspirated T for an American, and when you say 70, the T is shortened.
Whoa.
I've been thinking about this out loud a lot. ever since you told me you wanted to do this song.
I didn't expect him to solve this mystery.
Yes, I'm solving it for you, because an American pronounces 70 with a soft T. It's really a D. But a Brit does not. To a Brit, it's 17, and you can be 70.
Oh, my
all
God.
All of the T's are aspirated.
I never put
for
this
a British
together.
Man. And Ed Sheeran is singing 70 as clear as day.
I heard it as...
But an American must hear it as 17.
I always heard it as 17. But then, like, when you zoom in and listen to it, when you do the back and to the left on it, you're like, well, clearly there's no N. I was just like, did I imagine there's an N? Because he's losing a lot of consonants at the end of some things. But you're exactly right. Then it is sort of like Mary Poppins. Who's the guy from... Who's the real guy that I should be talking about? The pronunciation guy.
Dick Van Dyke?
The British guy. With the lady who he makes talk good. The Pygmalion guy.
Yeah.
Dr. Henry Higgins.
Henry Higgins.
In an Henry Higgins sort of way, like, Henry Higgins would never allow Eliza Doolittle to say, like, 70. That's what that's what some low-down Cockney flower salesman would do. He would want her to say, 70.
Man, I'm really glad we solved this for you, because it is very confusing. Wow. As an American listening to this song, you listen to it for the first time, you're like, I'll be loving you till I'm 17?
It took me
this is
months.
The saddest promise.
Took me months. And I was like, man, I knew Ed Sheeran was young.
We're sophomores. I think I could make it to junior year with you, but that's about it.
I knew Ed Sheeran had had a lot of success at just like a really amazing age, but like, I didn't realize he was like 15 right now. So that's our episode. We got to the bottom of the song.
We
solved
it.
The song. And we'll see you next week.
This has been Punch Up the Jam. Okay, let's get into playing this song, man. I mean, it's such a big song. Listen to this opening.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't speak.
I'm sorry. When my legs don't work like they used to before.
Like, what's the problem with the legs? Are we just talking about, is there a limp? Are we just talking about, like, you can't go out and play footy anymore because you're in England? Is this a wheelchair situation?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, when I hear, like, my legs don't work since I used before, it just sends me, like a almost like a Forrest Gump zone. Like, is Ed Sheeran in braces? I really see it as, if you play that next line...
And I can't sweep you off of
my
feet.
I see it as being a very bad joke that's in the wrong order.
Will your mouse?
You know, I swept you off your feet at the beginning of our courtship, like, but I won't be able to sweep you off of your feet when we're 17.
Because I lost you.
But it's because your legs don't work. It's like a twisted joke about, like, it's a twisted, like, wordplay on falling in love and remaining in love at an old age.
Yeah, sure. You know, if you have osteoporosis, it's a dancing is a concern.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people getting knee replacements when you're over 60.
Yeah.
Very little feet sweeping is happening.
What kills you is the hips.
Yep. The video is a long dance sequence. Everybody's thinking about, is old Eddie going to be able to do this when he's in AARP?
Yeah, his legs aren't going to work like that.
Will your eyes still smile from your cheek?
Okay,
first,
right,
let me
first
back,
of all,
let me back into the left this third line here. Will your mouth off of your feet?
I don't want to talk about the third line, but unfortunately, it's our job. Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love?
If I'm listening to this song in the car, like with my parents, I'm a high schooler, and this song comes on, I don't want to talk about the line, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love?
Oh, man, it's really gross.
I think the song's goal is to be very G-rated. This song is coming out of the gate swinging hard to win the trophy for best homecoming dance song ever.
Yes, it's like we were talking a couple weeks ago with Carl about, like, why did the Boys to Men song manage to get played at so many proms and homecomings when it is so horny?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the de-sexed version until you start to think about the taste of your love.
But it, 100% they mean lips. They meant lips, but you can't help but hear it horny.
Yeah. It sounds like blowjobs to me.
It
just, I mean, it sounds like blowjobs, and I think most people that think about it are just like, when you're old.
Are you contradicting me here? Do you think Ed meant blowies?
Is that what they call them in England?
Yeah. I don't know what they call them in England. Probably blowies. Yeah. Probably
crumpies. I think he at least knew some people were going to think that. I don't know. Maybe he meant kisses.
Yeah.
Maybe I should think better of him, and I think he meant kisses.
But
it sounds like blowjobs to me.
He seems like a cheeky guy. He probably would have put it in the song. If that's what he meant, he would have said, you know, will your mouth still remember the taste of my biscuits?
But the important, I mean, like making a G-rated movie, so often a risque joke might be slipped in, you know, for the parents. And like, if you're listening to this with your 9-year-old is not going to suddenly understand the concept of blowjobs through that line.
Yeah, we all pray.
So in that way, he has had his cake and eaten it too a little bit. What drives me even crazier is the next line, though, is, what is it? Will you still smile from your cheeks?
Yeah, let me roll it back. Here it is.
And the thing,
here it is.
Your mouth still remember the taste of my love.
Okay,
Sure.
That's blowjobs.
Mm-hmm.
Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks?
Will your eyes still smile from
your cheeks?
Well, we already have a word for that in the English language. And I think it's thanks to Tyra Banks. This man is talking about smizing. He's talking about smizing. He had like a PR agent or something in 2012 or 2013 who's like, hey, Ed, like when you're on the red carpet, like you're kind of getting tired. You can tell your smile is fake because it's just with your mouth. I need to get your eyes up. Bring your cheeks
your
up,
cheeks
Ed.
Up. Ed. I'm trying it right
Everyone
now.
Everyone loves you.
Yeah, this is an audio-only medium. You're experiencing this conversation, but can you hear a difference in my voice right now? I'm lifting my cheeks really hard to the point that they're...
Even with your fingers. You're lifting them with your
fingers. I'm actually pushing my cheeks up with my fingers to cause my eyes to squint. Is this... Will your eyes still... What does he say? Will your eyes still smile with
your
cheeks?
I will say, for me, it's not having the emotional response you're hoping for when you're pushing your cheeks with your fingers. That just looks weird. But I think the concept of smizing... Everyone knows smizing is true. Smizing is real.
Smizing is real.
Tyra Banks, you know, brought our attention to it, but it was already a real thing that you could tell a fake smile was a mouth-only smile, and a real smile is a face smile. And that's what Ed Sheeran's talking about here.
That's God's honest truth. In life, you have death, taxes, and smizing.
Yeah, but just say it, Ed. Just say, like, will you still smize at me?
I don't. If we dissect this song to this degree on every line, we're going to be here for 5 days, but I just want to also contribute that I understand already in this song that he's talking about the longevity of a relationship. Will I still be able to sweep you off your feet? Yeah, maybe your knees will go when you get old. Will you not be able to smile? How is this categorically...
Well, you'd be smiling, but you'd only be a mouth smile, Evan. It wouldn't be a smile. It wouldn't be a smize.
From your cheeks. I'd be so beat down and worn out.
Yeah, you're just going through the motions of smiling with your mouth only.
Decades of life have smacked a smize out of me.
Yeah.
Wow. How low. How dejected would you be to only be a mouth smiler in your old age? That's no life. That's no way to live.
You know, just me being open to life.
That's me smiling with my cheeks. We're getting into the hook here. We're getting into the belty bits. The verse is when Ed sings low. When he goes high, you know you made it to the chorus.
We'll be loving you.
Huh?
Till we're 70.
100% sounds like 17 to me.
It's 17.
Yeah, I know better now. I listen to this song a lot.
Heart could still fall.
But yeah, if you hear 17 and then you're mapping out a timeline through 20, you're mapping out a timeline through 23. The song's very confusing.
It's very confusing. Now, I will just say, Ed Sheeran sounds great.
Yeah,
he's a really good singer. He just sounds amazing.
The man can blow.
I'm also gonna say he's been sued a lot over this song.
And for singing too good.
He was sued for singing too good. Can you guess
whose You made estate, me fall in love.
Whose estate is constantly suing Ed Sheeran, Evan? Can you guess?
Yes. I can guess, because the whole time we've been listening to this song, I've been thinking how similar it sounded to another song that I wish they played at my high school homecoming.
Which is?
Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye.
Yes, which isn't that the exact same song that the Marvin Gaye estate sued Blurred Lines over?
No.
It's a different song.
Yes, the Marvin Gaye estate sued Pharrell and Robin Thicke over the song Blurred Lines, accusing them of copying Got to Give It Up.
Oh.
Both songs absolutely slap, but yes, it establishes the Marvin Gaye estate as being very litigious in the realm of intellectual
and
property. We
talk about the Blurred Lines example a lot because everyone kind of, in the history of copyright law, generally that would have, like, with the precedence that had been set, everyone expected Marvin Gaye's estate to lose that. And instead, he won it, and it's like absolutely changed the face of music copyright.
Yeah,
over
it,
the last
it
10
opened
years.
The floodgates because now floodgates. You can sue if you have kind of like a sound alike.
I think I'm on Ed Sheeran's side on this. Like,
100%.
The chords are the same.
The chords are so simple that you could come up with these independently,
and it would just be so messed up for judges that probably don't really know much about music to be like, wow. Marvin Gaye used these chords before. Like, Ed Sheeran can't use these chords.
Here, check this out, though. Check this out.
I've been really trying, babe. Trying to hold back this feeling for so long. And if you feel...
It's exactly the same. Because they got the tempo exactly the same and the feeling of this, like, bedroom ballad.
Yeah, but... The chords are the
Let's
same.
Let's get it on.
But the vibe is so different because, like, the soft piano goes ballad instead of, like, sexy funk.
I'm definitely on Ed Sheeran's side because there's only three chords in the sequence. Boom, boom. That's really the same chord. Boom, boom. You can come up with that independently. That's the only thing that is the same, just doing those chords at that tempo. You know what else has those same chords at a different tempo is the little fishies swimming over the dam. Boop, boop, did em, dot em, wad em, shoo. And they swam, and they swam, right? They're not getting sued by Marvin Gaye.
Hmm. They could sue them three times. It's three fish.
There's three separate fish.
Yeah, that's three lawsuits. Ed, if you're listening, I'm sorry we hate your song, but I hope you win your day in court. I really do.
Yeah. Surely, that's not the lawsuit's not going on right now, right?
It is. Over. It's going on right now.
That lawsuit is going on right now?
There's a second lawsuit. There's a second lawsuit that's in.
Oh, it's making me sad.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran already won Song of the Year, multiple Grammys for this. Probably made $1 billion off the one song. Does he have to retroactively give all that to Marvin Gaye if he loses? I'm way on Ed's side.
I don't know. And it's all really complicated because there's like multiple rights holders to Let's Get It On. Like, one of them is the previous writer. He lost his lawsuit.
Sure.
But then there's this other corporation that's suing Ed Sheeran that you're kind of like, are you actually a good actor in this situation, or are you just someone who goes around and, like, buys up song rights from people who are in need of cash?
Ambulance chasing music lawyer.
Yeah. That was my suspicion, is like, I bet this LLC just goes around buying up rights and then suing.
Very believable. Yeah, what about all the ladies that relatives. Marvin Gaye was getting it on with? They're owed a share. As muses.
Legally, that is false. That's a common urban legend, but that's
they're not registered as co-writers.
They're not registered as co-writers. Although, this is not a joke. I think that James Blunt recently credited Jamila Johns, his girlfriend, as a co-writer on his entire album because she was his muse.
Okay.
I think that's real. Yeah. Another crazy fact about James Blunt is he claims that he almost started World War III.
Oh, I believe that.
Have you heard this?
I've heard this song. You're beautiful.
No.
I would blow up a country to not hear that song again.
In the 90s, he was in the military. In the 90s, he was in the military, and he was like, he was in Kosovo or something. There's a whole crazy situation where he was in action, and his superior was like telling him to fire on the Russian army, and he was just like, no, this is a really bad situation, man. Like, if we fired on the Russian army, like, I think they'd shoot us back. And somehow...
He disobeyed orders to avoid war crimes.
If you look this up, James Blunt prevented the world from going into World War III in the 90s. It's really beautiful, honestly.
He is beautiful.
It's true.
It's true. You know what? Who also started World War III in my heart is Ed Sheeran with this song.
Jenna, do you like this song, Evan? I kind of can't tell.
How many, between 1 and 100 million babies do you think have been conceived to this song?
I think I'd put it in the tens of thousands, maybe like 35,000.
Oh, that's, way more than that. There's probably been tens of thousands of weddings done where you walk down the aisle to this.
Yeah, but that doesn't
count. Hundreds of thousands of weddings where this is your first dance.
Yeah, but that doesn't count as a baby is conceived to this.
I'm saying that's the smaller number. It's a larger number of conceptions that have happened both in and out of wedlock to this song.
You think more than 35,000?
Yeah, this is a real, guess the jelly beans sort of problem, but I think the fans might be able to help with this if we sort of crowdsource this question a little bit. Were you conceived to this song?
Okay.
Or have you conceived a child to this song? And however many yeses we get, we're just going to divide that by the number of followers, number of engagements on the tweet, and then we have the answer worldwide.
Okay, that makes sense to
me. Multiply it out.
I don't like it, but I'll do it.
Great. Okay, so we can't solve every problem live. Can't solve every little mystery live on the podcast. Sometimes you got to crowdsource it, but we're guaranteed to have an answer to this question, within a few days after this coming out.
Okay.
People fall in love in mysterious way.
Okay, agree with that.
Maybe just the touch of a hand.
Sure.
This is a powerful connection.
Yeah.
Well, me, I fall.
Okay.
And I just want to tell you I am. So honey, now.
Ooh, belt it, Ed. Love that
sounds
lick.
Sounds great. He just sounds really good.
Just murdering this vocal.
That is pretty mysterious to fall in love with someone every single day.
Sure.
He's saying that as kind of like a...
it's sort of like a live, laugh, love kind of slogan for relationships.
Yes, it is. It is a live, laugh, love of relationships, but when you
don't forget to fall in love every single day.
Every single day, but... when you really think about that, can you? Probably not. If Ed Sheeran does, that's pretty mysterious, my man. Maybe that's why he eventually broke up with this lady. He just pushed it too hard. He pushed it too hard into a twilight zone of falling in love with her every single day. First day he didn't fall in love with her. He's been falling in love with her every single day for months.
Or he wrote the song aspirationally and then was like, honestly, actually, she's not doing it for me.
Oh, man. This is really disappointing to me, but... lately, I've just been staying in love with you. I haven't fallen in love with you every single day. I've just remained... at a very high level of love, but not
falling in
love. I'm not going past 100.
The most supreme amount of
love. We need to turn this up to 11.
Wow, okay, so he set the bar too high. Failed to reach that bar. Yeah. I'm thinking of it as sort of like, Instagram wellness motivation type content. Fall in love every day. That lives right alongside rise and grind.
Yes, it's the rise and grind of love.
Of romance, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not rising and grinding on your relationship...
do you think there's a chance that she was an American and she heard the song and she was just like, 17? She's probably British. She probably heard the song and was like, 17? Oh, I want to fall in love with you every day, Ed. She's probably British because she worked for Jamie Oliver.
Oh, you gotta be Brit.
Probably Brit if you work for Jamie Oliver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's facts. That's conclusive.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Set your expectations too high. Set your expectations too high, you couldn't meet them.
The touch of a hand. Is that a mysterious way to fall in love? That seems a pretty normal way to fall in love.
I guess he's saying that there's many, many, many ways that you can fall in love.
A hand can touch you in a lot of places.
You inappropriately hit on your barista. You're in college together and you sit next to each other for... an entire semester and you finally make eye contact. I guess that's not that mysterious. But it could be just simply the touch of a hand. And in that moment, love was born. But your hand has got to be one of the top appendages to touch someone with.
Yeah, and they touch you in a lot of places. It seems relatively normal. What would be more mysterious, as we've already discussed, is loving someone more and more every day. That'd be really... people say they do it, But if they did, it'd be weird.
Yeah.
Do you know how he actually fell in love? Do you know where he met his wife, Evan?
His wife?
His wife.
Not the girlfriend.
He broke up with the muse of the song.
The muse of the song.
Presumably
is
his wife has to listen to the song all the time, including in the pharmacy, like I do. Yeah. She goes to pick up
and be reminded of
Ed Sheeran's prescriptions. Ed Sheeran is music is playing in the pharmacy, and she has to go up and be like, "I'm picking up for Sheeran, Ed." Okay. Presumably, they're well known in their town.
Yeah. Maybe he's got a pseudonym. But listen, I'm really outing myself as, you know, I'm not part of the Sheer army here. But who is Ed Sheeran married to?
Well, I mean, this might shock you, an outside bystander of Ed Sheeran's life. As someone not in his close inner circle,
okay, yeah.
My judgment is that he did the absolute best thing he could have done and married someone he knew in middle school that he had not been romantically related with.
Wow.
Like, you're like, all of a sudden,
that's
between
a smart
like
celebrity
age
move.
18 and 23, you've become one of the most famous people on earth.
Yes.
If you marry anyone you met after the age 18, they will only know Ed Sheeran, the most famous person on earth.
Yeah.
The person who's being asked to cameo in Game of Thrones and the movie Yesterday is himself. Mm-hmm. If you can go back, whoever you had a crush on at age 14, who you could not date at age 14, mm-hmm, because you were the weird guy in your eighth grade class. She probably liked you. She thought you were cool. Maybe you were just friends.
This is a lot of speculation, man.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. Maybe they were romantically related. But now 10 years have flashed forward. You've gotten, frankly, ripped for all your music videos.
But
look,
it's the best possible celebrity outcome, because it's not like the horrible power dynamic of like you're a megastar and now you're dating a fan, or you're dating a really famous movie star who then is like going off with other A-listers. And
she knew the normal you.
She knew the normal you.
She knew the normal you, and she knew the you that dreamed of being with her until the age of 17. I can't get over 17.
you can't get past it.
Here's something else about 17 that we haven't even brought up yet.
Oh, no.
Is that even if it is 70, from where I'm standing, that's a pretty low number. 70? You want to be in love till 70? What? Like, Ed Sheeran, like, your life expectancy is much higher than 70.
Yeah, I have
rich man in a first world country.
I was about to say we had three grandparents make it north of 85.
Yeah. And when he wrote this song, his parents were in their mid 50s. So even at that point, he could be like, wow, my parents are pretty far off 70. And I aspire to their great relationship. Mm-hmm. Now his parents are starting to push 70. Like, obviously he expects his parents to continue to be great role models and love for him into their 70s and 80s. Like, he just should have upped the number. Go for 80, go for 90, maybe go for a number that has a second number in it, so the number is clearer when he sings
it. I disagree. I think we have to assume that this song is canon for Ed Sheeran. This is the love manual, and he assumes that his parents are about to get a divorce.
Wow.
They're about to hit 70, and that's the expiration date. They're done raising their kids. They are now free to go their separate ways and just sex around Britain with other septuagenarians.
And you think Ed Sheeran's going to do that himself?
Mm-hmm.
Just coast
here,
to 70.
It's right here in the manual.
With his middle school sweetheart.
It's right here in the manual. They're going to make it to 70. That's a 40-year marriage.
I think he just needs to push the number. He needs to push the number up. At least a quarter
this
century.
Is the most compelling punch-up proposal you've made yet. You could do the exact same song, pronounce the word differently, and just get it up to about 90.
Yeah, that's what I'm screaming.
Okay. A love manual in which we can maintain this relationship into the nursing home.
Yeah.
Through Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And none of the notebook dying at the same moment type stuff. Just stay in love till you're super old.
Yes. Which I hope for Ed Sheeran and his middle school sweetheart.
Take me into your loving arms.
It's the most pure sentiment.
Kiss me under the light of a thousand stars.
Yeah, this is just kind of filler to me.
Yeah, I need more stars, frankly.
Place your head on my beating heart.
Love the way he's frying his voice out there. Sounds great.
Yep.
Thinking out loud.
That line, I mean...
Baby,
thinking out loud? How did that become the title of the song?
I mean... I actually love that last line and the way it finally like lines up with the piano. We found love right where we
everything
are. Why isn't that the title of the song?
Yeah, everything else in the chorus feels like a little ad-libbed in a sense, the rhythms and stuff. And then right when they bring it together at the end of the hook, we found love right where we... Yeah. It's so tidy.
Right where
it.
We are would be the much better title. It would be perfect for lying to his wife and telling her that the song is about her. I went all over the world and I found love right where I was in Framingham Middle School. Old Framingham Middle. Just where the other line, the line before that...
Thinking out loud.
Thinking out loud. That's like a toss-off line that's like the equivalent of being like... I don't know, just some stuff I thought about. Like that that's the title of the song?
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, it was a filler line in the hook that could be the title of any song.
I just don't
get it. It's like, you know something I was thinking about? Yesterday, all my troubles were so far away. I'm just thinking out loud and here's some more shit.
Random thing I thought.
Yeah. You know, Ed Sheeran's approach of going back and marrying his... middle school classmate, like the person that knows the pure you, person you can trust,
yeah,
because they didn't just show up on your doorstep when you're a billionaire.
Yeah,
it's the opposite of the Mark Anthony approach.
Yeah, yeah,
it's the polar just opposite of the Mark Anthony approach. Get a pile of money, repeatedly marry and divorce Miss Universes who are all 22 as you get progressively older.
But here's what drives me crazy about thinking about loud. It's like when you learn that in a personal essay, you should not type the words, I think that. Because the person is already reading your personal essay. They already know that you're thinking that. You just say what you're thinking because it's all, or like, you never say, like, in my opinion. Yeah, it's your opinion. This is your personal essay. This is why I did so poorly in my freshman college English class. No one had told me this in high school.
Oh, no.
Yeah, tell me about it. But that's why I hate the line, I'm thinking out loud. It's yeah, duh, Ed. We've been listening to you just sing for a long time now. You sound great, but...
It's supremely obvious.
Just
you're
put something good in that real estate. Put a line that's as good as the next line. The next line's great.
The song is still just as big a hit if the title was Where We Are.
I mean, this is shocking. This song never hit number one in the U.S., Evan.
What?
And it's kind of wild because...
That's a major song fact.
Major song fact.
What is it? I mean, he blows up so big so fast, but between 2010 and 2012, like 2010, he's putting out his own albums. By like 2012, he's like in the closing ceremony at the Olympics and performing at the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, which is wild. But in the weird way, he hasn't totally crossed over to America. Like when you look at his discography, it like his albums are hitting one in like basically like countries that are more British colony adjacent than even America, like Australia, New Zealand, sure, UK, like other countries in Europe. But in like the US, they're hitting like the top 10. And it's this album that first like crosses over and is like major, major hit in America. And a lot of people are discovering him between 2012 and 2014.
It's because of the US
American
prom
musicians.
Industry.
Well, it is like people like Taylor Swift are like discovering his music like while on tour in those countries. And being like, I like Ed Sheeran, like posting about him, like doing collabs with him. But this is the first like album that hits really big. But this song, despite being like one of the biggest songs of all time, is basically blocked at number one from an even bigger song. That is an even bigger hit of all time that was happening at the exact same time, Uptown Funk.
Oh, thank God you said it. I was sure I saw it coming like a train.
Like this was
that this was going to be the $5 segment. And you were going to ask me what song, and I wasn't going to know.
Yeah, you wouldn't have gotten it. It was too hard. I thought about it.
Uptown Funk was number one.
But that's like that makes this like one of the most powerful number. I mean, obviously, it's like the most powerful number two of all time.
Yeah,
that
what a this chart! Views what a YouTube. Time to be alive! That Uptown has, Funk and Thinking Out Loud just duking it out.
Yeah, and it could never beat Uptown Funk, but it still remained like, well, to come in second place to Uptown Funk, you're still one of the most viewed, most listened to songs of absolutely all of human history.
Wow!
But would it have crossed over? Would it have beaten Uptown Funk?
Mm-hmm.
If people had picked up the phone and they call their local radio station and they say like, hey, could you play that song thinking about you? We don't have that song!
We don't have that song!
Hang up. If they'd said...
Never heard of it!
Could you play that song
Love Right Where We Are?
I'd never heard of it.
Yes, I love that song, the beautiful Ed Sheeran ballad. Yes.
Yes. I'm going to press pause on this song, Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson.
Ah, yes, that huge hit by Mark Ronson.
That huge hit by Mark Ronson.
Yeah.
Maybe we found love right where
you're right, Evan. It's all about actually landing on something that sounds
sorry,
like a melody.
You had a new thought.
You're just right that it's the rest of the chorus just mostly sounds like a riff, which is also something I don't like about it. I want there to be a more locked in melody. And what's so great about that last line is it locks in. You're right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just agreeing with you. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks. Now I will always pause for you to agree with me.
When my hair's all but gone and my memory fades.
You're talking about middle age.
What's overdone?
That's middle age.
And the crowds don't remember my name.
My hair's all but gone, and my memory fades.
Yeah, he's talking about the 40s and 50s there, my friend. You're not talking about the 70s, 80s, or 90s. You know, it's like your memory is fading in your therapy. I mean, is Ed Sheeran's hair all still there now?
Sure, he's got.
I don't know.
He's got peers going prematurely bald in their 20s,
yeah,
for sure. Memory fading, you know, a few decades later, but he's fudging it here. And the crowds don't even remember his name. Now I think we're getting really to the heart of the matter. He's getting down to, like, what if you only like me if I'm famous? And this is pointing to
his brilliant strategy.
His brilliant strategy.
Yeah.
His future bride. She doesn't care. She remembers him back when he was just little Eddie. Busking on the Galway Mall.
Yeah.
I like his songs, Papa.
I like his songs. I like the way he goes ratty-tat-tat on his guitar.
No, Papa, I'd never date him, though.
No. He's trash.
No,
absolute
Papa.
Absolute trash. Eddie? Little Eddie? Oh, he's absolute rubbish. A bit cute.
My little brother's friend, no.
I know you will still love me the same. Okay, so it's kind of filler. He's fudging the various milestones of age here. That's something we could punch up.
Yeah. I'm going to make this old as hell.
Let's get real about the knee replacements.
Old as hell. Knee replacements is in the 40s and 50s too. We're talking hip replacements.
Dentures?
Hip replacements.
Hip replacements.
I'm speaking though as a man who's like, I think I'm going to need a knee replacement at a young age. Casey, recently my wife and I were talking about, like, hey, when should you do your knee replacement? Maybe now's a good time while you have a newborn child.
Wow.
Get your knee replaced while your child is newborn rather than when your child is a toddler.
This podcast really got aged up in the last minute.
Yeah. Well, I've broken both my knees, so I have the knees of a septuagenarian, despite
already
not being a septuagenarian.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, if you've broken both your knees, you're just going to have to switch them out at some point. Like, why do it at 70 and struggle through your 50s and 60s and then be like, good God, like, these knees feel great. Like, pop them in early. Just get it over with, you know?
I think you need to watch out, because what if you replace your knees and your wife falls out of love with you?
Wow. And to the listeners at home, I just have to recommend, if you can avoid it, don't break your knees.
Wow.
Yeah. You will get that on another podcast.
That's sick advice.
That's fire.
And the crowds don't remember my name. When my hands don't play.
Ooh, snuck in a riff. You get to the second verse, you start putting in the melismas where they weren't before.
Okay, it's kind of like an arty way of saying you have arthritis.
So who could never grow?
This is a little bit. This is a new pre-chorus. New lyrics on the pre-chorus here.
New pre-chorus.
Your soul can never grow old. It's evergreen.
Baby, your smile's forever in my mind and memory.
Should have stuck with the 17 thing, even though it makes no sense. Yeah.
And why is that?
Nobody remembers
that. You like
second
going straight to the heart of just this is about how old we are, period.
And even though he should have pronounced it like an American so everyone could understand what he was talking about.
A surfboard. It's a little forgettable, but he's trying to just pay her a compliment. But baby, that won't happen to you. I'll be the one getting old, losing my hair and all, you know, the old people stuff.
He's burning himself
But
a lot.
Don't worry, you're evergreen.
My hands won't play the strings the
honey
same
bunches.
Way.
Yeah, what a whoopsie doodling evergreen soul you are.
Your soul can never grow old.
No,
you won't be wrinkly.
When Ed Sheeran gets really old, he's going to look just like the guy in Hook who loses all his marbles, isn't he?
Lost what? I've lost my marbles.
That long, wispy hair and the glasses. He's going to look just like that guy.
Yeah.
It's a great cameo for him in 50 years.
He cameoed Game of Thrones, not as himself, but as a Game of Thronesy Ed Sheeran. Like, actually as himself, but pretending like it wasn't himself.
Yes.
He's just sitting there balladeering.
Yeah. Basically, as a prank. He was on Game of Thrones as a prank to the lady who plays Arya Stark, right?
I don't know. Who's getting pranked? I think the audience is getting pranked.
Yeah. I think they'd hoped it would be a prank on Arya, but it turned out being a prank on the viewers at home.
Yeah. That's the way I felt.
It's a pretty song. I've never heard it before.
It's a new one.
I think that's our final... like original lyric. Now we're into some repeats. I'm gonna play it out here.
A little blazing guitar solo, which while he's playing it, he's thinking about.
He's not playing this guitar solo.
You think he's playing the guitar solo?
We're gonna give him some more song facts. Who played the guitar solo on this track?
But I will say, I think the guitar solo is symbolic of a future in which his fingers cannot play the guitar in the same way.
Yeah.
Which is a fancy way of saying my hands are gonna be arthritic as hell.
Yeah.
That's just too. That's too much. Now he's just screaming too much. That's now you're just sounding needy.
He did it, man. He hit the high air.
Baby, now, baby.
I love to hear it.
Kiss me under the light of a thousand stars.
Kiss me has never looked at. Has never looked at the sky. There's so many stars in there.
Thinking out loud, maybe we found love right.
Just brings it all together. Adds a little glow on it. Here we go. Oh, it's so tasty.
You don't think Ed Sheeran is playing
okay.
this?
Okay. I don't.
Major song fact.
This solo was originally by British studio guitarist Chris Leonard.
No.
I know that Ed Sheeran can slap an acoustic guitar, but I never for a second believed that he would shred this lead lick. Here, this is obviously a studio cat. I just Googled it. It's a dude named Chris Leonard, who we can look up later and probably just has like a million hits. By which I mean, he's played in the studio on a bunch of other people's hits.
Ed Sheeran is obsessed with Eric Clapton, so for me it just sounded like a weak sauce Eric Clapton solo that Ed Sheeran would have kind of been game to play as an Eric Clapton devotee.
One more time.
Oh, the triple.
They did the trip.
Triple, okay.
They tripled it up. No fade out. Just clean, soft ending. Beautiful. Perfectly executed.
Reading the list of Ed Sheeran's influences that he has called out as being his own influences, by the way, mm-hmm. is just absolutely twisted. It's just like true 90s kid just like, I love the Beatles. I love Eric Clapton. Love Eminem, used to always rap along, love Slipknot, love Marilyn Manson. It's like, what? Like this is someone who's truly born late enough in the 90s that all boundaries between genres had started to disappear, and you could just be a person who unironically listened to Slipknot and Eric Clapton.
I saw that he said his inspiration for this, the sound of this song specifically, was Van Morrison.
Yes.
You buy that as a Van fan?
I'm a Van fan. I was thinking about that. Like, what Van song is closest to this? And I think it would be Crazy Love.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Like, I kept raving about Ed Sheeran's vocal performance. I think it to be really, really, really good. Like, Van can sing so quietly and, like, really wail. And I think Ed Sheeran is barring from that a lot. And I think you'll hear it if we play a little clip from Crazy Love. But Crazy Love is just a great song.
I can hear her heartbeat from a thousand miles.
Almost the same chord progression. I heard it. Same tempo.
Every time she smiles.
Same
really
ballad
whisper
feel.
Light on the breath.
To her, that's where I belong.
But same underlying rhythms.
But like, but that line, when I come to her, that's where I belong.
Mm-hmm.
Such a simple line, so perfect. There's no line in
thinking out loud that is that good. And then you have this great chorus.
Wow, this is a sick burn that you're laying.
I love this. I love this song. I understand that his influence is Van Morrison. I understand that he and his co-writer
are probably thinking about Crazy Love.
Thinking about Crazy Love or thinking about Van Morrison when they're writing it, but I really see it as being, you know, they're trying to write an extreme pop version of Van Morrison. And for me, someone who still has some aspersions for the most commercial side of pop music, even as I enjoy a lot of pop music, this has pushed too far into the like hit writing zone for me to enjoy.
What do you mean the hit writing zone?
Kind of like making it for radio rather than making it for yourself. I don't know. That's like, I can't prove that. I don't know if Ed Sheeran really loved this song and felt like it was truly emotive, or if he was like, I've got to write a platinum hit.
I think he knew he really had something, that the sound of it like really worked. I think he knew that this was a hit. He snuck it onto this album.
It was the last song recorded for his album.
Multiply, a.k.a. X.
And it is famously yet another song, quote-unquote, we wrote in one night.
Oh,
it's a song that was written in 20 minutes. He recorded it the next day. He put it on his album. And again, like so many of those songs that we've talked about on our podcast, you have to wonder, what if you'd spent two nights on it? What if you put in one more night? Then maybe your co-writer, Amy, could have sat you down and said, like, hey, what if instead of 70...
Tough to was, complain about a top 20 song 73. Of all time.
Just change it to 73. 73.
That's what you get if you spent the second night on this. Yeah, they would have changed 70 to 73.
Yeah.
They would have come up with a few more crazy love type lines.
Okay, so what are you thinking of as we go into the punch up, Evan?
You know, we have enough info here. I think we're ready to punch it up.
Okay. For me,
I'm terrified right now. I'm absolutely petrified.
I want to take this song.
What a mountainous task.
I mean, my first goal is to make it clear that they're not going to be in love until they're 17. My second goal is to make it clear that they're going to be in love until they're old as hell and not just 70. I mean, at this point, Ed Sheeran has had to address this in interviews. He's like, we'll stay in love after 70. People are concerned. Ed Sheeran did the Beatles have to go through this with When I'm 64? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I don't think they said until. That's key.
Until I'm 64.
Ed is straight up putting an expiration date. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney just describing his life at that age. It's a snapshot. You know, a little picture of like, this is what we might be doing on the Isle of Wight at that particular time. Ed Sheeran says, I can do this up until this date and perhaps no further.
Yes. It would either be great to fix that problem, make it more of a snapshot, or just age it up to an age where you know they could keel over any moment and everyone would be fine with it.
Yeah.
If someone keels over unexpectedly at 70, people are still like, ooh, like that's so young. Was anything wrong with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this you day know? And age.
70 is the new 60. 60 is the new 50. 50 is the new 40. 40 is the new 30. Mm-hmm. 70 is not old enough for Ed Sheeran to have.
Okay, alt idea. What if you time warp the song back to, say, pre-Victorian era?
Oh.
In which case, your life expectancy really is in your late 30s.
Yeah.
So to say you're in love till 70... is like utterly astronomical.
Just clearly set the song in like the year 1700 somehow.
Yes. Yeah. Huh. There's just some three-cornered hat type stuff going on in the song. You get those details in there. You know, oh, if my teeth are now made out of wood, that type of stuff.
Did you hear those Americans who threw the tea?
Yes, exactly.
1775.
Boom. Okay, I think we got some good ideas. Let's take a break, and then we'll absolutely... no question, produce a better version of this tiny indie song by Ed Sheeran. Okay, we're back, and this is my favorite version of a punch-up, which is to say that we decided that I would do no work and give the whole assignment to Andrew, which is great for me because I don't have to lift a finger, and also because I get to be surprised right now. And not in the Rick Roll type of way where the entire episode is a surprise to me, but in that very pleasant way of Andrew's about to hit me with his punch-up.
Yes, I don't think you'll be too surprised by this one. We talked about a lot of the issues with this song, both about, you know, the hopeful longevity of mm-hmm. our marriages. You'd hope you're married past 70.
It's 2022, man. A lot is happening in the area of AI and, you know, electric, you know, battery technology you can plug into your heart. I'm hoping to make it to two centuries.
Nanorobotics.
I'm hoping to make it to 200.
That's definitely happening.
At that point, it's going to be a hybrid of me and a Boston Dynamics Jaguar-shaped robot.
That I just want to be clear. That didn't sound sarcastic enough. There are people out there that are like, well, we're going to live to 160 because of nanorobotics. I think those people are morons.
Okay.
I think we will continue to die between the ages of 70 and 100 at very high frequency, no matter how rich you are. And people are wasting their time and money with nanorobotics.
Yeah, well, the difference is going to be that now you're dying because of the nanorobotics.
Man, I didn't get the nanorobotics into the punch-up. But you're not going to be that surprised by the punch-up. We talked about a lot of the stuff. I was shocked by the linguistic pronunciation element you brought in.
You're doing the opposite of Ed Sheeran. You're setting the bar too low right now.
Okay.
You set the bar really high.
Okay, well, let's jump into it. I barely had this ready in time. I was screaming this into a microphone at 9:30 a.m. in the morning this morning. Wow. This is just... first of many, dad brag.
Hit me with it.
My daughter was napping in the room next door. Mm. I don't know why, but she's a really solid sleeper. Wow. It's a mystery to me. I'm just screaming fake Ed Sheeran lyrics. She's just napping.
This is a glimpse of post-paternity leave, Andrew. The podcast now has become parenting brags.
Yeah.
You're screaming and your daughter slept through it. Wow.
Trying to get my punch up the jam work done between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m., hours that generally I would have been asleep.
It was a cultural reset.
From one dad to another, congratulations.
Thanks.
Just thinking out loud.
When I try to sweep you off your feet, and your hips both instantly fragmentize as they load you onto the ambulance. Will you still look at me and smile?
Oh, you got straight
to it. And darling, I will be loving you till we're 93.
Okay.
Should have had the T. I should have done the 90.
No, we didn't talk about the Brit stuff.
My heart will still beat for you through all the clogged arteries.
You put a stake in the ground at 93. That's a lot farther.
Thinking about, we are gonna age in deleterious ways. Imagine our arthritic hands. Oh, me, I may have goiters all over my face.
Oh,
eating soft boiled carrots with spam.
Soft food.
So, honey, now.
Yeah, that's reality. That's real talk. You want to scare
take
the person
me
off
into your smooth, unblemished arms. Get nostalgic about how young we are. Imagine the stents they'll put into my veins. Just a random thought I had. Maybe we can walk laps at the mall someday.
Oh, bravo. That's beautiful. That's romance.
When my ears full of hair and my memory's gone.
The balls will be gone too, but that's different.
And I'm stuck watching daytime TV.
Oh, that's the saddest.
Somehow I'll hum along to some old 2010 song. While you massage the bunions on my feet. Divorce won't be viable anymore. We'll be 93. The dating pool is quite shallow once you can control your pee.
Oh, savage but true.
Yeah.
This is speaking truth.
Divorce. I'm thinking about divorce is 70,
we are
still viable.
Agent
you can still enter the dating pool.
Ways. Imagine our arthritic hair. Eating blended bangers and mash. So honey, now
British blender meal.
Take expensive. Me into what? Your middle-aged arms. Get nostalgic about how not old we are. Think of the thrombosis I'll have in my veins. Just a random thought I had. Maybe
you deleted we can the whole
be
title.
One of those couples that die on the same day. Whoa. Maybe we can be one of those couples that die on the same day.
You're taking
day.
To the end, not 70. To the very end.
You did it! You did it!
So dumb.
The so song dumb. Is better. This song is punched up.
Bring in the medical ailments. Make it clear you've seen each other through several surgeries, hip replacement.
It's so
stents.
Specific. I'm not afraid to just say it out loud. That by making it more specific and more gross about all of the pre-melanoma, the stents, you're practically picturing the arteriosclerosis.
At 93, you just have to bless your lucky stars that your liver spots are precancerous and not post-cancerous.
Sure, yeah.
If they're precancerous now, just ride it out. You don't even need to go back to the dermatologist the second time.
By making it more gross, you've actually made it more romantic.
Wow.
You're throwing down the romance gauntlet and saying, like, listen, let's get real. I'm practically going to be rotting if we stick with this relationship for 65 plus years. I'm going to be a repulsive walking corpse, just littered with time bombs in my very blood vessels.
Yeah.
You willing to stick with me for that?
You know what? This sort of song is the sort of song that someone hears it. You know what they start doing? Loving you more every day. They're like, wow, that song was so romantic. I'm loving you more every day.
Yeah.
Other song says you're loving each other more every day. Next thing you know, Jamie Oliver's assistant breaking up with you.
No.
Or you're breaking up with her.
This song is the challenge.
Yeah.
If they pass the challenge, if they accept this challenge, then that's true romance. If they hear deep vein thrombosis and they get a little bit horny, you lock that down right now,
like,
with a ring.
You're going to have to no longer have grapefruit on the menu. I'm going to be taking a medicine after I have the DVT that lowers, that declots my legs.
You've now gone too deep for me.
Really?
Are we talking about blood thinner medication?
Yeah, every man you meet over the age of 70 is like, does this have grapefruit in it? Does this have grapefruit in it? This is a major concern for men over 70s if things have grapefruit in it.
Because they're all on the same drug?
Yeah, for some reason, grapefruit is big reactions to the blood thinning medicine. I don't know why. It's kind of a mystery to scientists, I think.
So you eat a grapefruit, you die.
Yeah, but grapefruit is like the number one food on lists of things you can't eat when taking medicine.
Yeah, you got your peanut allergy,
next time
your
you're
lactose
in a room,
intolerance.
Next time you're in a room of 50 7-year-old men.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I've done this before.
Do a poll?
You yell, hey, I'm serving free cocktails. They all mob you. And then you say, grapefruit margaritas. They all walk away. They're very sad.
Good crowd dispersal technique. Mm-hmm. You think, what about just like yelling grapefruit in a crowded theater? Well, I consider this one punched up. I mean, you absolutely slayed it.
Thanks, Evan.
It's so much more romantic now. Ed Sheeran and Van Morrison alike wish they wrote this one.
Yeah, we're pushing marriage into the incontinence zone. You know, not just the, hey, we're 70, recently retired, let's go on a cruise on the Rhone zone. That's fun. That's fun stuff.
Yeah.
70's fun stuff.
That's fun stuff, yeah.
Nursing 90.
Home, that's not fun. That's a threat.
That's not fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's time for us to take it home with a little segment I call...
Oh, man. I've been gone for so long, I almost forgot about this.
You forgot we did this.
I almost forgot about it.
You forgot we did this.
I even listened to the podcast some while I was gone. Some Thursdays, I just...
As well, you should listen to your own podcast.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, you thought you were going to get away.
Nice way to wake
up. From walk-in music.
Yeah.
I'll go first. And my scenario is based on what I think of when I think of Ed Sheeran's song, which is, this song was made to be played at proms. Mm-hmm. Period. It's exactly the type of, like, milquetoast romance that you like do a bad slow dance to. You know that feeling of like, we're gonna have to slow dance at the school dance, and you but maybe this is your first date with this person. You ask them out, and you're like putting hands on hips, and you like sway back and forth.
Yeah, your arms are locked at like in kind of a 90-degree angle. Your arms are going straight down, and then your elbows out.
Yeah. If you're going to the homecoming dance or the prom or the sock hop or the whatever it is with like an actual girlfriend, okay, maybe you're comfortable. Maybe, you know, you're just Frenching on the dance floor. And it's like things are going great for you. Hmm. But a lot of people are there, and it's very uncomfortable for them. That's like really awkward dance. But you know what solves that problem? This is my walk-in song for walking into my own homecoming with no date, or say, you know, she's probably listening to this podcast. I'm there with Becky Lurch, and
I'm hoping this is going to be Electric Shuffle.
We're not in a relationship, and so the slow dance is like really fraught territory, and then the whole problem is solved when you hear these opening chords.
Oh, I was close.
You were really close, my friend.
I was really close.
When you walk right into the Macarena, everybody knows what to do. Problem solved. Nobody is confused about where to put the hands on your partner's hips, whether you're swaying. Are you supposed to rotate? Do they think you're boring? Are you trying to cop a feel? Is this your moment to smooch because Ed Sheeran is playing? It's the most romantic thing ever.
And it's
problem solved. Now you know exactly what to do with your hands and your hips.
And it's an opportunity for you to show your date, like, hey, there are some lamos that think this is dumb, but even though it is kind of dumb, I'm still out here on the dance floor having fun.
Oh, this is prime, like, ironic, have your cake and eat it, too. You can be above this song, sneering at it, but also doing the dance.
Are you going to Venmo me $5 for guessing that you were picking a line dance song?
Yes.
I feel like that's, yeah.
I think you kind of stole my thunder by getting out there with, like, a crowd.
Yeah, I kind of ruined your joke.
So, but, you know, by ruining my joke,
I saw a flash of disappointment flash across your eyes, frankly, as I said the electric slide.
You get $5.
You know, I'm going to do a prom scenario too, but in my scenario, I think I'm going to be the prom king. I've never been a prom king before, was never even close to being a prom king. Did we have a prom king?
I mean, there can only be one prom king in a class. Most people in the world are not close to being the prom king.
But we didn't even have a prom king.
It's so forgettable that you...
We did have a prom king. Okay.
Yeah.
And we had a homecoming king, which obviously I would have been, except at our very traditional, arguably backwards high school.
Sure.
The homecoming king could only be a football player.
That's right. You're not eligible if you were not on the football team.
Amazing. This might shock you all, but I was not on the football team. So I'm prom king. But maybe there's like an upset or a surprise. Maybe like maybe there's like a beautiful British middle schooler. It's a middle school prom who's like,
yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be so and so, and now it's my friend's little brother. Oh, he's so weird. And they start to put on what the prom song was going to be. It's probably going to be Ed Sheeran's, thinking out loud.
Mm-hmm, sure,
yeah. Record scratch. And on comes
I don't know what this is, but it is really romantic.
It's got
exactly
romantic.
The right vibe. Wait, I recognize this lead line.
Yes,
this is Whiter Shade of Pale.
Yes.
But I've never heard this before. This is a cover version? What is this?
This is a cover of Whiter Shade of Pale, which is already one of my favorite songs of all time.
Wait, you played Whiter Shade of Pale as your walk-in music in some previous week?
Really?
I think. You love it so much, you came back to it for a cover.
Song, yeah. But this is a really good cover. Check this out.
Who's singing this?
The really rhythmic bass, the double hits on the bass, I love.
Yeah. It's kind of take my breath away.
So you don't know who sings that, and you don't recognize it? Casey, my wife.
No, I recognize her voice now.
Casey and I have been on a huge jag of listening to her.
Annie Lennox.
Yes, it's Annie Lennox. And I'm embarrassed to admit that I did not realize the breadth of Annie Lennox's hits. Like, I knew like a couple of her biggest hits, of course, Walking on Glass. Mm-hmm. But we've been listening, like doing like full album listens and just being like, these albums, like, front to back are bangers.
Okay.
Including this cover of Whiter Shade of Pale.
Yeah. Oh, this is a prom floor smoocher.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's really slowed down, so it's perfect for doing the real prom slow dancing.
Yeah, like you don't actually know how to dance, and you're only like walking slowly, swaying back and forth.
And it works for like the first dates with the 90 degree elbows, but it also works for the like, hey, we've been dating 3 years and we're just gonna do the exact same thing, but while snuggling.
Yeah, and I'm trying to make it down to your larynx with my tongue right now. Yeah.
But at the same time, the teachers have to acknowledge it's a classy pick and must be allowed because it's referencing of classical music. Well, they're like,
love this.
We've got to allow it. We banned that Boys to Men song last year, but this one's in. They're referencing Bach.
The lyrics don't make any sense, so you don't know if they're about boners or not.
Yeah.
The lyrics are absolute nonsense.
Is it Bach, Evan? Am I right? Bach?
I think so.
I mean, the lyrics don't make any sense, but it does include the word virgins. So maybe that would, maybe the censors would have a problem with that. Any song that mentions virgins on prom nights. So honestly, probably a pretty good rule for a prom night song.
Yeah. It's sort of like it's like a medieval type way to get a pass.
Vestal virgins.
Yeah, the Vestal
kind
virgins.
Of a Greek thing. So the, you know, the vice president goes over to take it off. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, the English teacher who teaches Greek Missa course is like, no, it's in. Those aren't normal high school virgins. Those are Vestal virgins, my friend. That's a piece of Greek mythology.
Yeah, that's literary.
Yeah, yeah. The vice principal crosses his arms and just sagely nods.
I'll allow it.
Ah, Greek mythology.
Mm.
Very important for
it's literary.
Curriculum.
The teens may go back to dry humping.
And then I start dating the vice principal.
Pure romance, yeah. And life hack, because he's a lot closer to 70, or she, and die a lot sooner. Then you get a free pass to go back to the dating pool. Thanks, man. That's a great pick. Love to know that cover. Glad to have.
Look it up on Spotify. Listen to the whole album. The album's amazing.
Okay. Don't mind if I do. You have been listening to Punch Up the Jam, and you should immediately pause this podcast and go follow us on all the platforms at Punch Up the Jam.
Please write us a review on Apple Podcasts. We would really appreciate it. It surprises you, but it helps us a lot.
It might not even surprise you. You're a digital person. You know this is how the world works.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise you. You've listened to other podcasts before.
Yeah, you're a savvy, smart, probably a content creator yourself. Perhaps. You know it's all about the engagements, the likes and the clicks.
And if you enjoyed the punch up this week, as every week, is available on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/GregoryBrothers. There's a lot of other great stuff there. Stuff from our YouTube channel. We're best known for making YouTube videos like Autotune the News.
We've had patrons on there for a long time that are there for all of our YouTube stuff. Yes. And lately, they have just been brigaded.
They're being
by
just
all of the Punch Up the Jam fans that are only there for MP3s of us singing about the Backstreet Boys having missionary sex.
Yeah, but I think they like it.
Come join the Patreon and get in our Discord and inevitably chat us very silly song suggestions. We're here for it.
Yeah, and if you have a song suggestion, just tweet at us or message us on Instagram. We love song suggestions. Send them over.
You can do that too.
But not another Ed Sheeran song for a while. I really maxed out with 1 week of Ed Sheeran.
I understand. We're not going to be out here doing another Boys to Men song either. We're not going back to the well on these artists over and over again. Ed Sheeran is done. We did it. Great success. We nailed it. Couldn't have been done better. This song's punched up. We killed it. Absolutely.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Who are you? Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Punch it. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Get the party going.
You've been listening to Punch Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum original.